Good morning. Morning, everyone. Morning, Tammy. How are you today?
Feeling healthy and yellow.
Fantastic. Well, I'm definitely feeling yellow, and we've definitely got sunshine, which is definitely yellow, so that's very good. So a
Where are
big welcome.
you in the country? It's miserable here in Bristol.
It's gorgeous here. We've got sunshine. It's amazing. I'm going to embrace it and enjoy every moment of it while it's here. So, big welcome to you this morning. And those who are tuning in, I'm Helen Pinkett. And today we welcome Tammy Whalen-Blake, who is a personal development coach and also the founder of Go to Yellow. So, Tammy is here this morning to talk about why there is never enough time. So, I am always walking around going, oh, I don't have time, I don't have time, I don't have time. So I'm really looking forward to talking about this subject this morning, Tammy. So why is there never enough time?
Yeah, let's dive straight into that question. So
Go straight
it's an
into that.
interesting one because I've been doing this now for about 2 years, and everyone I speak to have the same problem. It's always about time. So their biggest problem is I just don't have enough time. So where is this even stemming from? And it took me about 6 months to really understand what is going on with people and our environment, and why is it leading to time? And there's a number of things, but the overall theme is that we're not really respecting time. It's a limited resource. And depending how old you are now, you could be halfway through your life. That's a sobering thought. And if you haven't achieved what you wanted to achieve, then you're doing something that's slowing you down. And that's a big challenge when people go, oh, I'm responsible for that. And it's like that's good. You are responsible for it. But if you are the problem, you are also the solution. And to me, that's exciting. I thrive off that because it's like, okay, it's an awakening piece, it's not a problem. Life is like one big lesson anyway. So this is just another one of those. And you can make some changes. Yeah, so you can. In terms of the yellow part, I feel like it's important to explain what that actually means.
Go ahead. Of course, I know all about Go to Yellow, but tell everyone else.
Yeah, so go to yellow. In fact, yellow is a symbolism for energy. Wait, look, you got a yellow mug.
Well, I'm on brand. On
You are,
brand.
I have nothing yellow around me. Being a ginger, yellow is not my color. It doesn't work for me. So yellow symbolizes growth, fulfillment, positivity, optimism, just loads of positive words associated to yellow. In fact, I had to double check this. I wanted to know what's a negative word associated to yellow, and it's alertness.
Oh, and that's not negative at all.
That's what I thought. I was like, okay, let's be
That's
alert.
so interesting.
Yeah, so that's the only
Room.
negative. I challenge anyone to say if there is a more negative words associated to yellow, because I haven't found any so far. So going to yellow is really about the place of fulfillment, and I think that's what we're all really chasing. Some people say to me, oh, it's about having freedom, financial freedom, time freedom, freedom from maybe constraints of the office environment. It tends to be, oh, I want freedom. But that's great. It's part of being yellow, but it's not the end result. Fulfillment is the place to be, because then you just feel in this state of like euphoric and just joy, and it's like quite ecstatic. You are happy to be alive, and you appreciate every single second of the day. So really, it's the fulfillment that we're really chasing. And there's a number of steps to get there. And when I was reverse engineering, okay, so yellow's the place to be. Well, what's the color and the behaviors? And who can I help? What is that? So I discovered it was grey people. Okay. So let me explain that as well.
Yeah.
So grey people are overworked. However, if I say to my clients and to my audience, are you overworked? They would all say no.
Because they don't realize it.
It's a normal thing now to be overworked. It's normal. It's like a cultural thing.
Yeah.
And if I say to them, are you overwhelmed? They say yes.
Yes. Yeah, that resonates.
Yeah, so they can feel it, but they don't know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And so it's this overworked. And so when I broke that down into different types, I came out with 4 overworked mindset profile types. And so the first one is probably the most common one, and that's the people pleaser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you know many of those. Are you a people pleaser yourself?
Less so than I used to be.
Yeah, definitely
resonates with me, for sure.
And I think particularly for girls, it's been a pressure from a young age to put other people before you. You know, always share your toys, share your things.
Mm.
What's the saying? Be a good girl.
Yes. Yeah.
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 It's okay for boys to fight and scrap over their toys. That's okay. Girls, no. You be kind. Let them play. So I think girls suffer with it more, but it men too. Okay. So the people pleaser is really about putting other people first before your own needs.
Mm.
And so you may find that your diary is filling up with activities for others and not as much for yourself. And if you try to do something for yourself, there's this like intense guilt that you're putting you first. You have
yes.
to
be first, yeah.
right?
Yeah. So you've
got this huge internal battle. But the people pleaser is more than just doing things for others. It's also about who you are, and you have this internal battle because you feel that you need to dress a certain way, play a certain role, or it could be you have to take on someone else's values or topics. So you just play this role for other people and you feel really disconnected to who you are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
In terms of like how that impacts time is that one, you're doing things for other people, but also you have this like spiritual disconnect and you punish yourself and you find external things to do to make you feel like you. And so the overworked is also going through like your social media.
Yeah.
Comparing yourself, trying to find where you fit in the mix, like your people. Sort of like style of hunting, like where's my people? And you find that really difficult. So you're spending more time on social media to find my people.
Yeah.
And you also find that people pleasers are online shopping, but not for a style that suits them and what they love, but what other people like. And
yeah.
Again, it's linked to the social media. So you'd go onto social media. Maybe it's a celebrity that you follow or someone that you really like that's got a cool Instagram account. And you look at their style, you go, oh, that outfit, and you then go hunt for it. Even if it doesn't fit you or doesn't feel nice and you just feel weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do that. And so then you're overworked by searching, but then you're overworking your spirituality and your emotions as well. So you're feeling that exhaustion. And that's tiring you out. And so when you do these things, then it has a ripple effect in all areas of life.
Sure.
So that's really what a people pleaser would go through. Quite a common one.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. I think when parents have that quite a lot as well, mums, you know, because you're putting your children first as well all the time, putting yourself at the bottom of the list. So, yeah.
That's interesting. I've never thought of it like that. So is it people pleasing your children or
yes.
is it people pleasing the other parents?
Well, I think it's kind of with your children, because you put your children first. So, you know, often we don't have strong enough boundaries in place. Mums feel guilty for taking time out to do their own thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, slightly different angle on it there. So your people, small people pleasing.
Yeah, I've just never considered it, and I suppose maybe I haven't had enough clients that are mums to dive deeper into that one. So it'd be great to pick your brains on that another time.
Sure, yeah. Just throw a curveball in there.
Well, I love it. I like to learn, so it's great. Like I said, life is a lesson, and we're just evolving. So there you are, to learn too. I don't always have the answers.
Brilliant.
And then the second one is the busy badge wearer. Mm. This is someone who is constantly on the go. If you look at their diary, if they diarize everything, it's back to back with things. Mm. And they wouldn't sit down. The second they sit down, they know their body's about to shut down. So they it's move, 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 move. And they could be doing pointless things like being the taxi driver for their friends just to keep on the go. There's a few places where that stems from. It could be in the workplace. You want to appear like you're in control and that you are important. So being busy is seen as I'm important because I'm demanded.
Mm.
So they run around the office like, oh, I'm busy, busy, busy.
So busy.
It could also be a way of avoiding something.
Mm.
Maybe there's something going on at home, and so you're busy to not go back home because you don't want to be there. It's like, oh no, I'm busy tonight, and you know, you work really, really late just to avoid whatever's happening. Or it could be avoidance of a feeling. So if maybe you've gone through a traumatic experience, maybe a breakup, this is where it's very common. With a breakup, it's distractions, because what you're trying to do is form new habits when someone has left your life, because you're so used to them being in your space. It's a huge change. So busy becomes the norm, and it's distract myself from feeling.
Yes.
Movement.
Yeah.
And so always on the go. Again, there's some element of guilt of having me time and slowing down.
Yeah.
It's quite crippling, I would say.
Yeah.
A busy badge wearer that suffers the most from illness.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense, because you're busy all the time and then you stop. And then it all catches up with you, and then the illness, burnout, overwhelm.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, that's it. So there's a heightened level of stress. And where does that really show up in their day-to-day? Well, they are it's more about their movement. Their diary is doing something that means moving. It's also, because that's more like physical exhaustion, there's also mental as well. Again, in the workplace, those with that importance will be doing lots of activities. But the problem is, why they don't have enough time is they're doing things just to appear in control. They could be doing a lot of activities that don't add value. So a prime example of this, with lockdown, we went from driving to meetings or walking, if you had very large office spaces, to a meeting. And in that time, there's almost like a brain break. You get to relax, move away from the screen. Sometimes it's going in front of a screen, but a lot of the time it's not. It's in person. So you're relaxing your eyes. So there's this like element of relaxation in between. But the second we went into lockdown, it was back to back.
Yes.
So the exhaustion just peaked. We were then entering meetings that may seem like important because the agenda was like, okay, it was X, Y, and Z. Just like, okay, I definitely need to be there. You turn up, and because it hasn't been well organized, you realize it was a waste of time.
Like,
how many times do you do that? Quite often, if you want to appear busy, you want to be in all the meetings so people get to know you and see that you're present, but actually that's a waste of time if you're not adding any value.
I can see the difference there completely. It's being busy for busy's sake.
Exactly. So the busy badge wearer tends to be more in the workplace, but there are some other examples of outside of the workplace. But just conscious of time, we'll go through the next profile type.
Fine.
And then I explain what people can do differently. That's the most important part today. So the third person that's got this overworked profile type is the uninspired.
Right.
Okay. The uninspired is very different to the others. They don't care too much for work, and that's absolutely fine. It really is. We have this conditioning that success means work. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be, you know, great leaders, and we've got to climb the career ladder. If that's your value and that's what you want, okay. But to someone else who doesn't care about work, they don't feel that it's important to them, but instead, I don't know, they want to be a parent or something, that's totally okay. There's a place for them in the world as well, right? So their success is just different. And so work is not important. And how you would identify someone who is uninspired is that they hate Mondays and they celebrate Fridays.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
When I say that, I pause because people go, oh, yeah. Isn't that funny? Because what are you doing? You're wishing away time.
Yeah, yeah.
You celebrate this hump day. It's like, oh, I'm over the hump now. It breaks my heart. It's just like, time is precious. Make the most of it. Yes, work might not be the thing that you care about, but you can still make the most of your time. There's more to work than just being in front of a computer or doing some sort of maybe manual labor. You can make relationships. You can balance it out with many other things. So yeah, these uninspired people don't care about work, and that's absolutely fine. But what they then tend to do, because of this like culture of success means work, they feel as though they don't fit in society. And it is a shame that we perceive it this way. And this, when people ask, well, what do you do for a living? It's almost like a judgment. Like, can you just tell me where you are in society so I can see where you and whether I want to speak to you? So let's remove that, what you do for a living, and ask people, what are you passionate about? That's one way of us overcoming this whole success means work. So with these people, they struggle with the external validation. And so we have things like expectations and social norms that we need to perform to. Expectations are things like be the doctor your parents always wanted. It could be, you know, be the good girl, be the supportive friend. Yeah, we have to perform a certain role in society. And if you've got an Instagram account, make sure your pictures look cute. Yeah, and add a filter to them. How do you not?
Filter.
So you've also then got the expectations, the social norms. Climb the career ladder, have the baby, get the house, these sort of things, get married. And there's a certain time frame, you know, when people turn 30, they have this massive meltdown. When you're 30, you should have a house, you should have a baby, you should. The amount of people that say to me, you really should have a child about now because, you know, your health and you might not be able to conceive. And it's just like, this is a belief. If you actually look at all the science, actually when you turn 30, it doesn't mean it's the end of the road for you. There's so much more that we can do.
Yeah.
So this external pressure to perform, I'd say perform your role. And so the uninspired are easily influenced. They are overworked by having to perform the role. And it's the similar things to the people pleaser. They're on social media all the time, making sure they've got the filters, making sure they've got the right outfits. They're going on the holidays that they get to promote. They're planning their holidays so they get those pictures to promote on social media. It's
right.
Not a holiday that they want and will experience. It's what will other people get to experience through it.
I see, yeah.
And again, it's the same thing. It's that mental exhaustion, spiritual exhaustion that they're battling when they are uninspired.
Yeah.
They're also influenced by marketing, easily influenced by marketing. Whether it's a new trend, what's the latest trend? Ketosis?
What?
Ketosis, so it's another diet, high-fat diet.
Oh, ketosis, yes, I was thinking, what trend are we talking about?
Keto. Apologies.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the latest thing. The year before that, we had veganism. Oh, God, whatever. It's hard to keep up with all these different changes.
Fasting and all sorts of, yeah, always lots of different ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you've got to keep up with the trends. And so you're constantly on social media. Social media is going to promote all the marketing tools. So they know your behaviours. They're promoting to you because you will buy, because you want to fit into society. So the algorithm
pick up. Very clever, yeah.
So you have this really difficult time with your internal battle, finding your way in society, being influenced, and you're wasting time because you have to be guided by these other voices. You really struggle to find what's right for you to make better decisions, and so your time management is being affected by it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The final one is the best. I like to call it the best, because there's negative connotations around the control freak. I don't like that word either.
Control
freak. That's not the case. There's beliefs underneath that's causing this so-called control freak. Instead, the best is more of a representation of those behaviors. Mm-hmm. So the best is someone that has crazy high standards.
Right.
Standards are great. I have high standards of myself. Mm-hmm. And once I make it a normal habit, I evolve them some more. So I'm always evolving. So high standards is not such a bad thing.
No, yeah, absolutely. However,
if they are that high that it cripples you, there's a problem.
Mm. Yeah.
So this is how you'd waste time. So someone with the high standards, if you start a project, you would do either one or two things. You'd either procrastinate because you don't know where to start and you believe that you'll never finish it to that standard. Yes. So it's like, what's the point? So procrastination becomes your thing. That's a huge time waster.
Yes.
You'll do anything. If it means sweeping the floor, you'll do it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, I can recognize a bit of myself in all of these today.
I'll come back to that point. The flip side of it is that you might start it, but you'll never finish it.
Mm.
And you'll keep editing and editing and editing and editing. So it's a never-ending journey. So you're wasting time trying to make something look perfect before you would release it to the wild.
Mm.
Yeah? The whole fear of being judged on it will cripple you. And it's like that gold star that you chase in school, the teacher's pet. It's like, well, I have to get this gold star. So severe pressure that you put on yourself.
Mm.
The people that are the best really struggle to delegate.
Right.
When I'm working with my clients and I can see them behaving as the best, we talk about delegation. And there's a software in which I introduce it. And it takes a long time for them to consider delegation. There's always a reason why they can't do it. Always.
Mm-hmm.
They can't let go of it.
Yeah.
They're baby. Yep. And if they can't achieve their high standards, no one else can.
Yep.
Plus, how would you communicate those standards to someone? If you really understood your standards, it wouldn't be as much of a challenge. So then you've got to communicate that to someone. So there's a heap of challenges when it comes to delegation.
Yes, yep.
The best is also someone that they have to play a role. So if they are a leader or a manager, they're very, a lot of the time, very stern. They appear in control. they have the watch, they wear the suit.
Mm.
Yeah, it's like a facade. They put on this show that I'm in control. Yeah. They also might buy into the holidays as well to say, oh, I went to Bora Bora because I can, you know, I'm in control. Yeah. I'm the best, yeah?
Yeah.
And so they're doing things just to appear like they are of a certain status. However, inside, they fear inadequacy.
Mm.
It breaks their heart. They fear it so much, they're just doing things. And actually, the people that are the best are also the same people that struggle with debt. They're always buying into new things.
Ah, that's interesting.
Heap of challenges that they face.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
So you said just a moment ago, you recognize yourself in all of these.
Mm, definitely in the past anyway. I think I'm over quite a lot of them, but I could, all of them that you pointed out, I could say, oh yeah, that resonates. I recognize that behavior, definitely. Mm-hmm. So could someone be a bit of everything?
Yes, that's it. You'd have a primary, but you have a bit of everything. And it can change so quickly because as our environments change and as we change and our lifestyle changes and we evolve, something will crop up and we'll have different kinds of stress coming into our life. It's a matter of recognizing when it's here.
Mm.
Okay, right now I'm really experiencing the uninspired. Or I'm experiencing the best in this situation.
Yeah.
What can you do about that? The best way for you to recognize it is to put everything into your diary. What are you doing with your time?
Mm.
And if you don't diarize it, you'll make excuses for the behaviors.
Mm.
It's a painful process. You know, just diarizing everything is a nightmare. Not much about it, but if you really want to change it and recognize your behaviors, put it into your diary and you'll see exactly what you're doing with your time.
Mm.
Give you that chance to say, why? Where is this stemming from? Is it me? It's almost like the wake up call, that little shake that you need to go, all right, I recognize these behaviors. Your diary is a mirror, it's a reflection of you.
Yeah. So would you recommend looking back at the end of the day then and going, oh, or as you go through your day going, oh, I've just spent 10 minutes scrolling Facebook, or I've just been and got the washing up on the sheet because I'm procrastinating about doing something. Would you literally just go through your whole day noting down everything so that you can look back on in hindsight? Okay.
Look at everything. Go through that process. Maybe just do it for 2 weeks to see what's going on.
Mm.
And then find the habits that are showing up that slow you down. To really give it extra meat to the bone, I would say, know your vision for the future.
Mm.
What do you want for your future? What do you truly want? That's not external validation. That's not for the social norms. That's not for the expectation of everyone else. What do you want?
Yeah.
Be really clear, and I do it in 10-year vision statements.
Okay.
10 years, this is my plan. Then get very tactical on what you need to do today.
Right.
I'll give you an example of how I do it. In the next 10 years, I'd imagine I'd have children. There's a good chance I'll have children. Probably in about 5 years' time, somewhere around being 35 years old. So the decisions I make today is all about my career. That's very important to me because I'm building the systems, I'm building a business. It needs to be a strong income stream because I want to be able to afford my children. Children are not cheap.
Really? No, they're not.
They actually cost, I looked at the stat and it's something like £120,000 per child up until the age of 18. So it depends whether they stay, you know, needing additional finances after that. But it doesn't include holidays. 120K per child. Yeah, so I thought,
everything.
We need a lot of money to afford these little things.
Yeah.
I want them to have good health and experiences. I need some money.
Yeah.
So to me, the next 5 years is all about my work and it's about doing less in my work.
Mm.
We'd always fill up time. Whatever we allocate to something, we will fill it up.
Yeah.
So for me, when I started my business, I was always only going to do part-time.
Right.
So I taught myself that if you want a scalable business, if you want to grow and make you know, huge income, you're going to have to find a way to do it with this part-time. But also, mm. you need to empower your team to do the work so that they don't need to keep coming to you to ask for permission.
Sure.
We're all heading towards the same vision. And so I've now built all the different systems and processes. It's been a challenge. It's been painful at the same time. It's not easy, but I'm getting there, right? Mm-hmm. And it's leading me to the point that when I do have children, the business will run itself.
Yeah.
So I can be present with my kids. Like, that is so important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to look them in the eyes. I want to be able to have the energy to run around with them. I want to give them my whole.
Yeah.
But to do that, I need to be tactical right now.
Yeah.
Know your vision, know the milestones, know the markers. You don't have to figure it all out right now. I've got, you know, an idea of maybe when I'd have children. There's a few things that, you know, might happen in that time that might slow that down. But what I do today is leads me closer to it. So I always ask myself, of the activities that I do, is that helping me get to where I want to be? Is that what I want? Is that because society tells me that I should be married right now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Question. So that's my what I would say to those listening to this. If you are wanting to take some action steps, look at your diary, write down everything.
Yeah.
Assess why you do it, and understand if you continue to do the same things, what does your future look like?
Mm-hmm.
If that means it's going to take you 30 years to get to that particular place, ask yourself, is that what you want? If it's not, create the vision statement, get clear on the milestones. You don't need to have the full picture. That's fine. It will come to light in good time. But break it down to what you must do today that will get you closer to that.
Yeah.
Action points.
Yeah, that makes sense. So look to the future, diarize. What do you need to change to make this happen? And I can imagine that being very eye-opening to be recording. I keep going back to that, recording everything in your diary of what you do. Because, of course, my main things are in my diary, but all the other little bits aren't. So it'd be quite interesting to look at. I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, thank you. That was very interesting.
And it's when you do this activity, the average worker, and I believe this is someone who works like in a business or like an office role. I'm not sure it applies to a builder, but the average worker is spending an additional 2 hours per day trying to catch up on their work. Maybe that's because of distractions, maybe that's because of pointless meetings. Something's happening and you need to do an extra 2 hours. And over the year, that's 1/5 of your work that you're doing extra.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of time wasted from pointless meetings, from distractions, social media pings.
The worst thing ever, social media. I've turned off all my notifications. I have my phone on silent and I keep my phone upside down to try and stop me from getting distracted. It doesn't always work, but it does help a little.
When you say upside down, there's a feature on some phones that when it's upside down, it turns on silent or disables it or something. Is that what you're doing, or is it to stop you from seeing it?
Stop me looking at it. Because I don't know. Yeah, so if you keep it upside down, it's sort of you then have to do a slight little bit more effort to do it. So mentally having it upside down in a way, of course you could put it in a drawer, put it in a cupboard, put it in a different room, whatever works for you.
Like a digital detox. It really helps just to break that pattern. I turn mine on silent. I don't have any notifications, like nothing will ping on my phone. If I want to go check something, I will make that an activity in my diary. So my emails are in bulk. People, they don't mind waiting for me to respond to an email. I've not had a single person say, hey, Tammy, you took like 3 hours to reply to me.
Right, exactly. But it's so funny that we feel like we need to. Obviously, you know, you can train yourself to, you know, have diarized times to do that, but it's that dopamine hit, isn't it, of, oh, there's an email, I'll just check it, in that reactive mode. Mm-hmm. And then we spend so much time just reacting to emails or notifications and messages that come through our phones, and I think that's a huge time drain, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you know, I'm full of stats. So when it comes to distractions,
remember them all.
I just got my book here. Let me just try this one.
Love it.
The distractions. If you're in deep focus, I don't know, you're working on the report, say. You're really focused and your phone goes ping. You know, okay, well, let me just check my email. It takes you, on average, 90 minutes to get to that same level of deep focus.
90?
90.
Like an hour and a half, that's incredible.
To get back to the same level of deep focus. Wow. Yeah. So when you're really in a like hyper-focused state, maybe your brain's firing up. Mm. You know, we have those moments where we're like, rah, sometimes with coffee. but yeah, if you take that time to be distracted, it's going to take you 90 minutes to get back in that same state.
Gosh, that's huge. I thought it was around 20 minutes or so, but that's 90. That's
You might actually be right there. I feel like there's
20. Oh, no. Chuck the spanner in.
Oh, no.
Go back to your... No, I'm not stating it. I just, I thought I'd heard that it was 20 minutes, but I trust your stats. Sure.
I don't know. I don't trust that stat now. I'm going to have to double check and I'll have to put it into the link.
But it's a while, isn't it? It's not, we don't just go distracted straight back into work. It takes a while to build back up that focus. So that's going to take a lot out of your day, especially if you're hopping between, how many tabs have I got open? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I've got 13 tabs open on the top of my computer. And I often just go, oh, yeah, that email account. So I dread to think how much time and focus I'm wasting by just hopping through. That's really interesting. Close some of these tabs down.
Yeah. What other tips do you have to help you focus your mind so you're more productive?
So being more productive, I think, is just self-care. I always come back to self-care. So I actually find I'm far more productive if I go for a run in the morning. Even though I'm taking out an hour of my, you know, the first hour of my day, I actually find when I come and I start work later, actually I'm much better. I'm much more productive. I think it's chunking tasks down as well. There's something called the Pomodoro technique, which is where you, is it 5 minutes or 20 minutes? I think it's 20 minutes when you set your alarm, but it can be for any time, and then you have a deadline, so you get on with it instead of procrastinating. So that works quite well for me. And also having little rewards at the end. So if I do this task, right, I'll go and make myself a cup of tea. If I do this, then I can go and do that. So having rewards really helps as well.
Yeah, I think really disciplined to do
that. You've got to, yeah, absolutely. It's working out what's going to be the carrot, you know, the carrot for you at the end of the stick. It could be doing the job and then having 5 minutes of social media, but being strict with that 5 minutes of social media, because as you know, we can get onto Facebook and end up half an hour later, like looking at something completely random, thinking, how have I got in here?
Yeah.
For me, is also finding the best times of days that you work at. So, you know, outside of the 9 to 5, you know, I like starting work at 6. I get a good bit of work done first thing in the morning. Some people might find they work better in the evenings or in midday. So it's just really about looking at your own productivity cycle and fitting your day around that. Different for everybody. I used to say to everyone, you should get up early And whilst there are many, many benefits to getting up early, I think it's actually more important to find your own cycle and your own routine and your own productive hours.
Yeah, there's a way to find that. If you go into Google, type in the power of when.
Right.
And there's a quiz. The quiz will ask you, you know, about your routines, what you like to do, at what time, and it will populate your chronotype. So it will say to you, this is the best time for you to wake up, and this is the best time to do these certain activities. So, for example, some people wake up in the morning and their brain is like on point. It's ready to go. If so, then doing reports and analytical work is best to do it in the morning. However, not everyone's the same. So you might have a different chronotype. And when you wake up in the morning, it's a little bit later, but you wake up and you still feel really tired. Well, with that, you would do creative work. So if you're having to design, I don't know, some sort of social media post, for example, then do that when you're feeling a little bit low on energy. And then later in the day, you might find that in the evening, your brain is firing up. And so you get in front of the computer because you're like, yeah, I need to do all these reports now. My brain is on fire. It's like, yeah, let's go. So you work with your energy levels. It also tells you when is the best time to eat, what to eat as well. So it's a really great tool I recommend. So it's called The Power of When.
Perfect. I've just noted it down, actually. I'm going to check that out. Imagine if what I'd been doing was wrong this whole time, and actually I'd be better working at like later on in the afternoon. I'm going to check that out and see how that goes. That's really interesting. I love things like that.
Don't be surprised if it says to you, you're a dolphin or you're a bear. They refer you to an animal.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. Oh, cool. I'll let you know what I get.
Yeah.
By the way.
Oh, God, I've forgotten. I think the average person is a bear, and I think I'm the average person. So I work best at waking up at 7.
Yeah.
And my brain is operating at its fullest in the morning.
Yeah.
And in the evening, I'm most creative, which is also quite irritating for me because as I'm resting my body, all these great ideas come to me. And so it is going back into like work mode. So what I've done is I don't do 9 to 5. I realize that it doesn't work for me because a heap of my work is creative. And so I do this life balance model where I work anytime. Yes. And I get to choose when I work. So it might be I do an hour in the morning and then I've got 3 hours to go for a run, cook some nice food or something. And then in the evening, if I'm having to do creative work, I maximize that because my brain is just on point to do the creative stuff.
So
evening creative, and when I'm going to sleep, oh, I have great ideas, but I have to stop myself from getting out of bed because that's a bad habit, otherwise I'm not actually going to sleep. Just knowing your habits, what are you doing? Sleep is very important, so you can't just keep leaping out of bed to type down your ideas. You have to manage that, and maybe do some meditation before bed, and the ideas will come to you then write them down. It's knowing what shows up for you and working with it for your lifestyle.
Yeah, that's so interesting. And that's so like me. I work when it fits with me. I don't have a particular, I like my mornings, but I found sometimes a few hours in the evenings are actually working for me as well, but it changes. So I think it's being adaptive and flexible with what feels right, really.
And the thing that I can say is absolute rubbish is where those gurus say you don't need sleep, you can operate on 4 hours. If you want success and you want millions, you can't sleep. That's rubbish.
No, it's complete rubbish. Sleep is the most important thing and what you absolutely have to prioritize, because you can't do all the things if you're exhausted.
Exactly. In fact, it's like double the amount of time to do the same task if you're exhausted. So if you're working more than 55 hours a week, it's going to take you double the amount of time to do a task. It's pointless. It's wasted time.
Yeah, completely. Sleeping is not wasted time at all. As possible.
And have power naps. That's something that really works. You can have it with coffee, so have an espresso, shot that, go lie down, work out how long it takes for you to drift off, and then give yourself between 20 and 25 minutes of sleep. So you're not going into a full sleep cycle. Otherwise, if you hit deep sleep, then you're going to need to wait out the 90-minute cycle. That's where you wake up groggy if you're waking up halfway through it.
Yeah.
So 20 to 25 minutes of sleep is more than enough. When your alarm goes off, the coffee would have hit you. You've had that sleep. Wow. Yeah, the performance that comes on the back of that is great. So power naps are for winners.
Yes, completely. I was gonna say about naps earlier, but I don't drink coffee, but that sounds amazing. A shot of espresso. Yeah. Just going for sleep. What a fantastic routine. I love that. I'll have a shot of green tea instead, because that's got a little bit of caffeine in it, so maybe it'll have the same effect. But that is a golden tip. I'm going to say to everyone to go and give that a try and see. But naps, definitely good. Power naps, we love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just more of those. There's many studies around the power nap, and they've had profound effects. So it's, 25 minutes, like taking 25 minutes out of your diary to come back on fire is better than pushing through, like the, you know, when you get eye strain. Burns. You're mentally exhausted in front of the computer. So just have that power nap, rest yourself, you'll come back on fire.
Yeah, and then you'll be doubly productive. So it makes perfect sense.
It really does.
Fantastic. Tammy, thank you so much. I'm feeling even more yellow now, as I always do after speaking to you. So thank you so, so much for your input this morning. That has been really interesting. Tammy is a personal development coach and founder of Go To Yellow. Where can we find you, Tammy, if anyone wants to seek you out and ask you any questions or find out a little bit more about your work?
Yeah, so if anyone feels that they could do with additional support around their time management, I have a workshop tomorrow. So on Wednesday, the 19th.
Wow.
Wednesday, the 19th of May. And it's at 10 a.m. So drop me a message and I'll send you the link to that. That's about time management. And we go through your diary. We have some real examples of what could be going on. So there's lots of lessons with that. But otherwise, you can connect with me on LinkedIn.
Great.
So Tammy Whalen Blake, you'll find me on there. Drop me a message and I'll be happy to give you some guidance. See whether there's anything that you could do as a starting point. But if you want to work together, of course, there's a variety of coaching programs. But let's build a relationship first to see whether we're the right fit and then go from there.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Tammy. It's been an absolute pleasure this morning. And I look forward to doing our next talk, which is in 3 weeks' time. And I've forgotten the title of it. I think it's, now I can't even remember what it was. I was up in the group anyway. Thank you so much, and thanks everyone for tuning in.
Thank you.